to allay her fears. He obviously felt her tremble, because he gave her shoulder a reassuring squeeze, and then suddenly he settled her against him, pulling her into the crook of his arm as he pushed the button to an elevator. An elevator?
Relax, he murmured. I swore to you no one would hurt you, and I never break my word.
Never?
His eyes flashed with amusement as the elevator door whooshed open.
Never.
It's got to be a requirement, she muttered, as the elevator closed and then began its ascent. He looked at her in confusion.
For working here, she said patiently. It has to be a requirement.
What is? He asked, clearly puzzled. Not breaking my word?
Being hot. Everyone's hot here. Even the bouncers and the waitresses. And whatever you and those other guys are. It should be a crime.
She said it like it was a crime, and, well, it was. No one should be this freaking gorgeous. Or nice. They all looked too badass to take the time to reassure a confused woman who was scared out of her mind. The bouncer at the front door. The bartender. Hot guy number one, who'd crushed Eddie like a bug. Hot guy number two, to whom hot guy number one had tossed Eddie. Not to mention the other hot guy who'd appeared, apparently to help hot guy number two escort Eddie out. The waitresses. And then there were the clubgoers themselves. And apparently only beautiful people are allowed here, she muttered under her breath, but apparently loud enough that Maddox could hear, judging by the laughter brimming in his eyes.
I knew it was a mistake to come. I don't belong here. I should have just stayed home.
At that, he immediately sobered, and he had that scary look back. He stared fiercely at her. His eyes narrowed as he studied her, disbelief reflected in his beautiful eyes.
You don't think you're beautiful?
Her mouth gaped open.
Duh! I don't think, I know! You can't change what is!
He didn't look at all happy with her statement, but before he could respond, the elevator opened directly into a darkened, spacious room. She had to blink to adjust to the lower lighting, and realized the only light illuminating the room came from video monitors placed on the wall. Surveillance. So that was why someone had ridden to the rescue. Well, thank God for that, because it wasn't as if any of the other customers were going to intervene. Maddox cursed softly, shaking his head as he propelled Evangeline into the room. He'd opened his mouth as if to speak or respond to her statement, but snapped it shut the minute the elevator opened. But he still looked pissed, which she was beginning to think was also a requirement of working here. Hot and perpetually pissed. She had to say, when not directed at her, the hot and pissed off look was pretty damn hot.
Her name is Evangeline, Maddox said. Leave us, a deep male voice sounded.
She glanced around, trying to find the source of the voice. She turned back to Maddox, because suddenly Maddox didn't seem to be so bad. And Maddox had been nice to her. Well, except for the kidnapping and not allowing her to leave part. But Maddox had melted away, the elevator door already closing, leaving her alone with whoever the mysterious Mr. Donovan was.
Shit, shit, shit.
Realization struck her that she'd just jumped from the frying pan into the fire, and there was no one to save her this time. 4. Evangeline glanced nervously around the room, shivering as a feeling of power surrounded her. She could swear she smelled the man, and it was intoxicating.
Mr. Donovan?
Once again, she glanced anxiously, trying to pinpoint his location. And then she saw him. He stepped from the shadows of the far corner of the room, and her eyes widened in surprise and in pure female appreciation. Whoa. Now she got it. She understood the rules and who they were inspired by. If Mr. Donovan ran impulse, it certainly made sense that someone as beautiful as him would surround himself by equally beautiful people. She stared in fascination as he regarded her intently, his dark eyes raking over her, making her feel suddenly exposed and extremely vulnerable. She swallowed hard, because she could swear she saw a flash of interest in his arresting liquid brown eyes. Maybe Eddie had hit her, because clearly she was out of her mind. But it was a nice fantasy. He wore his hair short, and he had a polished, sophisticated look that screamed wealth and power. His features were sharply defined, with a hard set to his jaw. He had a broad, muscled chest and shoulders, and was a lot taller than she was. She'd have to stand on tiptoe just to reach his chin. Her gaze was drawn to his mouth. Over and over again, she came back. After checking out a different feature, her gaze flitted back to the hard line of his mouth, and she felt all tingly imagining what his mouth would feel like on her skin. Heat scorched over her body, followed swiftly by mortification for even entertaining such ludicrous thoughts. As if a man like him would even give her the time of day. Then, suddenly, he strode forward, a determined, pissed-off look on his face, and she braced for the inevitable confrontation. To her complete shock, he gently grasped the arm that Eddie had bruised and turned it, so he could inspect the extent of her injury. Fury blazed in his eyes, but he didn't let go of her arm, though his hold was infinitely tender. Chill bumps erupted and raced across the arm he was touching, and a peculiar sensation welled in the pit of her stomach. Her vagina clenched, and her nipples tingled, suddenly hypersensitive, and became rigid points. She had the urge to cross her arms over her breasts because she was sure he could see the imprint of the puckered ridges through the thin material of her dress. What the hell was happening here? Had she entered an alternate reality? This was so not her. She didn't spaz and become a walking hormone around a man, any man. She didn't have time for men. And the one time she'd made the time, well, it was obvious what that got her. And suddenly, the beast was unleashed, and she tried to take a hasty step back, but his firm yet gentle grip on her arm prevented her from doing so. "What the hell were you thinking coming into a place like this?" he demanded, fury lacing his every word. She immediately dropped her gaze, shame and mortification seizing her in a grip that rivaled Eddie's earlier assault on her arm. "I know I don't belong," she said in a voice barely above a whisper. "I know I'm not good enough to be in a place like this, where only beautiful and rich people come." Her voice grew more resigned and subdued with every word. She could barely speak for the humiliation knotting her throat. "I'll just go now. I'm sorry I was a bother. I caused a scene. I won't be back, I promise. You won't ever have to worry about me showing up here or anywhere again." She tensed in his hold, fully expecting him to let go and let her walk out. When his grasp remained intact, panic kicked in, and she looked frantically up at him, blanching at the rage in his eyes. "Please, let me go. I swear to you, I'll never come back." His expression was carved in stone, that hard jaw she'd observed earlier, much more noticeable now. "Then why did you come?" he asked bluntly,
making her cringe at his crassness. Was he really going to make her spell it out to him? Give him a play-by-play of her lack of worthiness to grace the premises of his club? And damn her propensity for always blurting out the truth, no matter how painful. It was a flaw she would be thrilled to be rid of. But no. Before she was even cognizant of what she was saying, the whole ugly story came pouring out. "The man who assaulted me is my ex. Boyfriend. Lover. Whatever. Though I'd hardly consider us lovers," she said bitterly. "I was a challenge to him. Was being the key word. He knew I was a virgin, and so he coaxed me and wined and dined me, pretending interest because he wanted to be my first. She stammered out, heat scorching her entire face. Drake cursed savagely, startling her with his vehemence, but she plunged ahead, only wanting to be done so that maybe he'd finally let her go. "As soon as I finally gave in, stupidly thinking that he was someone special, he dumped me on the spot. He said I was a terrible lay. I overheard him complaining to his friends, people. I don't know who they were," she said painfully. "He said that sticking his dick in my cunt." She broke off, mortified over her use of the offensive word. Then she took a deep breath and closed her eyes. "He said it was like fucking a snowdrift. And it definitely wasn't worth the 3 months he had to wait for me to give it up. He repeated the sentiment tonight, to my face."
"So you came tonight to see him?" Drake asked incredulously. "Why the hell would you want to do that? For fuck's sake, did you want him back?"
Her head snapped up, her anger surging hot through her veins. "No," she hissed. "Not now, not ever. My girlfriends talked me into coming. Said I needed to get back some of my own. Steph had a VIP pass, and they spent an hour making me up. Shoes, killer heels, hair, makeup, the works. They thought I should let him see what he'd shit on," she said dully. "I told them it was stupid. This place is for beautiful people. Even the people who work here are gorgeous. Everyone is freaking perfect. And then there was me, sticking out like a sore thumb. The people in line outside knew I didn't belong. The people inside knew I didn't belong. And you obviously knew I didn't belong, because you sent your goon to get rid of me. So if you'll just let me be on my way, I'd appreciate it. I've already promised I'll never darken the door of your club again. This has been a humiliating enough night as it is, and I can only take so much." He gave her a look that was a combination of bewilderment and super pissed off.
"You don't think you fucking outshine every bitch out there and they don't know that?" he clipped out angrily. "You didn't see that the skank with your ex was ready to rip your hair out by the roots because she isn't as gorgeous as you and never will be? There isn't a bottle made that can duplicate the kind of beauty you have. And those bitches in there don't hold a candle to your kind of shine, and they hate you for it."
She looked at him absolutely stunned, her eyes wide with shock. He swore viciously, causing her to flinch again.
"No, it's obvious you don't see it," he said in a grim voice. "You don't see your own goddamn appeal, and that makes you even more attractive to men."
"You don't have to say that to make me feel better," she said softly. "It's kind of you, but the truth is always better. I prefer to keep it real. I know what I am and what I'm not. I accept that."
Before she could process what the ever-loving hell he was doing, he pulled her roughly into his arms, so she landed with a soft thud against his chest. He tilted her chin up, his hand nearly covering half her face, it was so large, and then he crushed his mouth to hers, devouring her lips, as though he were starving. It was the equivalent of being struck by lightning. Every nerve ending in her body promptly jolted, and she gasped, opening her mouth to his advancing tongue. He probed delicately, with patience that contradicted his impatient, seemingly angry movements. She let out a delicious sigh because that mouth. Oh, God. But she'd been so right about his mouth and lips. But now that she'd experienced his tongue, suddenly her attention wasn't quite as focused on his lips. He tasted and smelled divine, hot, alpha, badass male, arrogant, confident, and so yummy-looking she couldn't fathom that she was standing in his office while he was thoroughly kissing her in a way she'd never been kissed before. And she'd only known him for all of 5 minutes. She put her hands up to his chest, her intent to ward him off. But as soon as her palms made contact with the muscled wall, they stopped and simply absorbed his heat as she leaned further into his kiss with a soft sigh of surrender. Drake had heard all the not good enough, not beautiful, don't belong bullshit he was going to put up with for the night. Evangeline. Angel. Yes. Her name suited her to perfection. She was the most beautiful woman in the entire goddamn club. And here she stood spouting shit that she truly believed. And in no way was he going to be able to change her mind with just a few words. So he did what he'd been dying to do ever since he'd seen her walk through the door of the front bar. He hauled her against his body so she landed against his chest, the plush softness of her breasts searing his flesh, even through two layers of clothing, his and hers. Then he crashed his mouth down on hers and feasted like a man long deprived of such beauty. His lips lightened and he licked delicately over the full, plump bottom lip, nipping lightly with his teeth, a request for her to open her sweet mouth so he could get inside where it was even sweeter. With a stuttered gasp, she complied, though he wasn't sure if she'd actually made the cognizant decision to allow his tongue access, or whether she was merely starving for air, since she hadn't taken a single breath since his mouth had crashed down on hers. But he wasn't waiting around to find out. He thrust his tongue inward, nearly groaning aloud as she tentatively met his thrust with just the tip of her tongue. A brush so soft, it was like a butterfly's wings. God, if her mouth tasted this sweet, he could only imagine how sweet her pussy would taste. And he had a sudden urgency to find out. He wrapped his arms around her, hauling her body into his until there was no space between them, until her softness melted into his much harder frame and molded to his. He could feel her breasts, even the turgid points of her nipples, through what had to be a sheer, lacy bra for all the protection it offered. For that matter, she likely wasn't wearing one, since the dress didn't allow much in the way of the inner trappings. Just the thought of there being nothing between him and those beautiful breasts, those nipples thrusting against his chest, except the sheer dress she wore, had his dick roaring to life and surging against his pants like a randy teenager making it with his girlfriend for the first time. Mindful of his desire to taste her feminine nectar, he reached down and swept her into his arms, ignoring her sudden cry of alarm. She didn't fight him. If she had, he would have offered her reassurance that he damn sure wasn't going to hurt her. She merely lay rigid in his arms, her breaths coming in sporadic bursts, her cheeks a delectable shade of pink. She was flush with arousal, and he enjoyed savage satisfaction over the fact that she wanted him. Fucking a snowdrift. Her ex had to be out of his fucking mind. Drake didn't need to be balls deep inside her to know she'd have him going up in flames. He was about to come in his pants, and he hadn't even gotten her on his desk or her dress up to her waist. He set her ass on the edge of his desk, and with an impatient gesture, he swept the surface of his work area clean, knocking the contents to the floor. Shit scattered in all directions, and her eyes widened, her pupils dilated, so that only a thin ring of blue circled the black orbs as she stared warily at him. Not giving her any time to think, much less gather her scattered emotions, he eased her down until she lay flat on her back on the desk, and her legs dangled over the side of his desk. It made him a complete bastard, because he was absolutely taking advantage of a woman who was still reeling from the events of the night. But at the moment, he didn't give a fuck, because he was consumed by the need to taste her. To give her a taste of what her shithead ex hadn't bothered, or was unable to give her. She would leave here satisfied completely, and then she'd return to him. Oh yes, she would be his. She just didn't know that. Yet. He gently slipped her shoes off, hesitating just a second, because the idea of him being between her legs with only those shoes had his dick already leaking pre-cum. That was for later. He'd fuck her in those shoes and nothing else. He dropped the heels onto the floor and then shoved her dress up her legs and over her hips to gather around her belly. She was clad in lacy, sheer panties that covered golden curls at the V of her thighs. He tugged the thin band, sliding the sheer material down her thighs to her heels, and let them drop to the floor. Impatiently, he nudged her thighs apart and groaned when he got an unimpeded view of her glistening arousal. The pink lips of her pussy beckoned him, and he lowered his head, running his tongue between her lips from her slick entrance to her quivering clit. She cried out and arched violently upward, her legs shaking spasmodically. Clamping his hands on her hips, he held her firmly in place as he began sucking and licking in long strokes. Moisture surged onto his tongue, and to his satisfaction, he'd been right. She tasted every bit as delicious as he'd imagined. He could die a happy man between her legs, his tongue lightly fucking her, tasting her from the inside out. With light laps, he worked his way up to her clit and circled the taut bud until she let out a keening wail. Then he rimmed her entrance with the blunt tip of one fingertip, slipping only the slightest way in. As she got wetter around his finger, he grew bolder with both his hand and his tongue. He stroked her velvety walls, reaching deeper to the slightly rougher area of her G-spot. As soon as he exerted light pressure and suckled gently at her pulsing clitoris, she went wild, bucking, her breaths loud and forceful.
"Oh my God,"
she said in awe. Wonder in her voice.
"I had no idea it could be this way, that it could feel so good, so perfect."
Her words slid over his ears like the finest silk, and he experienced an ego boost like no other he'd ever felt. This woman deserved a man who could satisfy and please her in bed, and he had every intention of being that man. He was claiming her, putting his stamp on her, even if he didn't fully possess her tonight. Knowing he would have her fully, completely, gave him a surge of sheer male satisfaction. He gently sucked her pulsing clit between his lips as he added a second finger, stroking in and out.
"Oh, oh,"
she gasped.
I don't want it to end. It's too perfect. Oh, my God. What do I do? I feel like I'm coming apart.
Let it happen, Angel, he murmured. Let yourself feel the pleasure and forget all about the past. This is how it should feel when a man takes care of his woman and isn't a selfish bastard out to please only himself. He stretched her more with his fingers and then began to stroke in and out, enjoying the silky walls of her pussy. He licked and sucked at her clit until her entire body was rigid, her bottom lifted entirely off the desk, as if desperate for his mouth. He felt the ripple of her pussy around his fingers, and cursed the fact that it wasn't his cock. He was so hard that it hurt, and his straining erection felt as though it were about to split apart. He'd never wanted a woman so badly in his life, and he'd damn sure never been this aroused. And unselfish. Give it to me, he demanded. Come in my mouth, Angel. Let me taste you. He withdrew his fingers and then moved his mouth down to her opening and slid his fingers up to her clit to caress as he licked and sucked her sweet juices. Her cry splintered the quiet and she went wild, bucking and writhing as she exploded into his mouth, on his tongue, bathing his chin with her creamy nectar. He gentled his ministrations, knowing how hypersensitive she would be as she came down from her orgasm, but he continued to tongue her, lapping up every drop of her essence. And then she went utterly limp, and when he raised his head, he saw her dazed expression and the hazy, dreamy look in her eyes. She was the most beautiful sight he'd ever seen. Her gaze found his, and uncertainty, shame, and embarrassment replaced the look of euphoria that had been present. She looked away, her cheeks flushing. Drake gently lifted her to a sitting position, and then slipped her underwear back on, then eased her from his desk and straightened her dress, before bending to slide her heels back on her feet. He cupped her cheek, softly caressing her jaw with his thumb. Maddox will take you home now, but he'll be back to pick you up at 7 sharp tomorrow night, to bring you back to me. She nodded numbly, obviously dazed and confused, bewilderment bright in her eyes. She didn't even register Drake summoning Maddox back to his office, and didn't react when Drake cupped her face with both hands and kissed her lingeringly. Tomorrow, Angel. Until then, dream of me.
5. Evangeline sat in the back of the luxurious car, utterly still with shock. She should be shaking like a leaf and completely freaking out. Okay, so she was freaking out, but she wasn't broadcasting that to the big, silent man who'd been charged with seeing her home. The same man who'd intervened and prevented Eddie from hitting her. Did he know what had happened in Drake's office, or whatever the heck he called it? It seemed more his lair, and he was some brooding dark beast. A beast who had the most wicked mouth, and certainly knew how to use it to pleasure a woman. Mortification swept over her, nearly destroying her carefully constructed composure. She'd allowed herself to be escorted from Drake's office as if they'd simply had a conversation, and he was thoughtful enough to ensure she got home safely. But on the inside, she was a hot, writhing mess, still shaking from the aftermath of the most mind-blowing orgasm she could imagine. Not that she had anything to compare it to, but surely all orgasms weren't that earth-shattering. If they were, then all everyone would ever do is have sex. The world would revolve around down-and-dirty sex. If she had a man like Drake, it would certainly be all she ever wanted to do. If he was that talented with his mouth, then what about the other parts of his body? Imagining his cock deep inside her nearly made her orgasm all over again, and she glanced furtively at Maddox, praying she hadn't just given herself away with the betraying quiver that stole over her body and set all her girly parts to tingling all over again. She was still hypersensitive. The exquisite, sumptuous leather she sat on vibrated erotically over her swollen, throbbing clit as the car navigated through Brooklyn. It was the worst sort of torture, because it was a good distance from Impulse to the apartment she shared with her three roommates in Queens. She didn't chance staring at Maddox too long. She didn't want him aware of her scrutiny. That, and she was positive he'd take one look at her face and see her every thought reflected, and that would truly send her over the edge on a night where her nerves were already frazzled and frayed to mere threads. And she was barely hanging on to those fragile threads as it was. He was utterly unaware of her anyway, his gaze fixed ahead at a point over the driver's shoulder, as if studying the streets, alert at all times. Was he expecting them to be carjacked or something? She almost laughed, but knew that would give away her mounting hysteria. Surely escorting errant women from his boss's club wasn't in his usual list of duties. If she hadn't had the night from hell, and heaven, God, the last part had been pure bliss. She could almost summon sympathy for him and his job of babysitting her all the way to Queens. They continued the drive in silence, and when they were but minutes from her apartment, she breathed a sigh of relief. But then Maddox shocked her by turning his attention to her, the first time he'd even acknowledged her on the ride home. "Are you all right?" he asked gently. Then he shook his head, evidently irritated with his own question. "Of course you aren't all right. But will you be?" Her mouth fell open, because she'd gotten the distinct impression that she was a tedious job, an unwanted one at that. But now genuine concern, and worse, sympathy, was reflected in his eyes, making her wince. She didn't want this man's pity, or Drake's for that matter. The evening had been a disaster. Well, except for the bone-melting, oh my God, orgasm Drake had given her, because it had been painfully obvious to everyone at that damn club that she didn't belong, no matter that Drake had tried to dissuade her of that notion. "I'm fine," she said quietly. He cast a doubtful look in her direction, one that told her he saw right past her obvious lie, but then she'd never been able to deceive anyone. She was everyone's version of Miss Goody Two-Shoes, which was why Eddie had seen her as a challenge and wanted to be the one to shame and humiliate her, to conquer the Ice Queen and be smug over his victory. Some victory. He'd been terrible in bed, and it had only taken Drake's mouth and nothing else to reveal that much to her. "Okay," she muttered. "I will be fine. Happy. I'll get over it. I always do." He frowned at that, his eyes glittering with sudden anger, but he clamped his lips shut, thank God. She had no desire to bare her soul a second time to a complete stranger, as she'd done with Drake within 5 minutes in his presence. Her and her annoying, ridiculous habit of blurting out the truth, no matter how humiliating. She'd mentally kicked herself at least a dozen times for not telling him it wasn't any of his business. But then there was the fact that Drake didn't appear to her to be a man to ever be told to mind his business. She'd convinced herself that he scared the holy hell out of her, but then he'd been extraordinarily tender and sweet to her, and she hadn't been able to summon fear when he was making her mindless with his mouth. But after, when she'd partially regained her senses, he definitely terrified her.
The driver rolled to a stop in front of the aging seven-story apartment building that was far older than she was. She and her girls lived on the top floor, and the elevator had stopped working a year ago, something the cheap asshole landlord hadn't ever seen fit to fix. It made carrying groceries, or even worse, walking up those six flights of stairs unbearable after a long night at work with aching, swollen feet. Evangeline didn't wait for the driver or Maddox to get out. She quickly opened her door and stepped onto the curb, hoping neither man would bother to get out and would be on their way, more than happy to be rid of her. No such luck. But then nothing about this night had gone right, so why would now be any different? Maddox climbed out on his side after checking for traffic, which wasn't much given the lateness of the night and the fact that for all practical purposes it was a one-way street, since vehicles were curbside parked on both sides, making it a tight squeeze for two cars to pass in opposite directions. He came around to stand beside Evangeline and stared up at her dilapidated building, a scowl forming on his face.
"You live here?"
She stiffened at the implied criticism and snobbery, and she fixed him with an icy glare of her own.
"It's all I can afford, and I share it with three other roommates. We do fine. It has all we need."
He shook his head and reached for her elbow, but she evaded his grasp.
"Thank you for the ride home," she said, politely distant.
He ignored the obvious dismissal, and his hand closed around her elbow as he herded her toward the entryway.
"I'm walking you up to your apartment."
There was a stubborn glint in his eyes that told her no amount of arguing was going to sway him on the matter. She sighed and threw up her free hand.
"Whatever. Let's just get it over with. I've had a long night and I'm ready to faceplant on my bed."
His mouth twitched ever so slightly. She could swear he was battling a smile. But then none of the men who worked for Drake that she'd seen tonight looked like they smiled. Ever. When he headed for the elevator, she pulled up and shook her head, directing him toward the stairs.
"The elevator doesn't work. We'll have to take the stairs."
He frowned.
"What floor do you live on?"
"Top,"
she said, already bracing herself for his reaction.
"Jesus," he muttered.
Then he simply bent down, gripping one of her hands and anchoring it on his shoulder.
"Hold on to me."
She had no time to question, and it was a good thing she was too befuddled and rattled to disobey his order, because he lifted one foot, causing her to teeter, and slipped one of her heels off. After her bare foot was solidly back on the floor, he repeated the action with her other shoe, before easing her hand back down to her waist. Her shoes dangled from his fingertips, and with his free hand, he pressed his palm to her back and ushered her to the stairs.
"What on earth are you doing?"
she asked in a strangled tone, finally managing to find her voice.
"You'll break your damn neck climbing six flights of stairs in those toothpicks you call shoes," he growled.
She rolled her eyes as they began their climb.
"I'm very used to wearing heels like these."
He cocked a mocking eyebrow at her.
"Can't say I'm convinced after tonight's fiasco. You damn near killed yourself."
She uttered a growl of her own and pinned him with her most ferocious frown.
"Well, gee, excuse me to all heck. I was a little more concerned with getting out of the way of a fist trying to make contact with my face than I was about staying upright in my shoes."
It was the wrong thing to remind him of. His expression went utterly glacial, and a murderous look entered his eyes.
"He won't fuck with you again."
The conviction in his voice made her uneasy. She used sarcasm to avoid thinking too hard about the certainty with which he'd made that particular statement. She lifted one eyebrow.
"So you have a magic ball? You can see into the future, and you know he'll never come at me again?"
Trust me, he will never come within a mile of you.
Her stomach quivered, and she swallowed the fear, quickly forming a knot in her throat. He wasn't joking, and she did not want to know how he knew this, and why he was convinced that Eddie would never be a problem for her again. Some things were just left better unsaid. Ignorance was bliss, and it was a motto she'd adhered to her entire life. No reason to make any drastic changes now. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, her mama always said.
This is it, she said in a hushed voice, when they reached the end of the hallway.
Her apartment number was 716, but the 6 was turned sideways, and the 7 dangled precariously upside down. It would fall any time, and she'd been meaning to fix it herself since her landlord was a useless piece of crap who never bothered to grace the building with his presence unless someone was late on rent. Then he was Johnny on the spot and pounding on their door, threatening immediate eviction, even though it wasn't legal.
Jesus, Maddox muttered again.
Knowing that if he walked into her apartment with his badass protective routine, her roommates would never let her go to sleep until they pried out the entire soap opera that had been her night, she unlocked the door and opened it just enough so she could slide through. Then she turned back, putting her entire weight against the flimsy door, as if he'd have any problem pushing past her. For that matter, he could kick it down without breaking a sweat.
7, tomorrow, Maddox said crisply, suddenly all business. Don't come down. I don't want you waiting on the street. Stay inside until I come up for you.
She barely managed to control her flinch. Barely. Even so, she was certain she'd gone completely pale. After giving her the best sexual experience of her life, Drake had calmly told her that his driver would be at her apartment the next night at 7, and she was going to spend the evening with him. Just like that. He didn't ask. He planned without consulting her about anything. And she was supposed to just meet his driver and go God only knew where with a scary-as-hell man who also happened to have a positively sinful mouth and an equally sinful body. She'd been too shattered by her orgasm to do anything but nod dumbly when he'd given her his crisp instructions, and then she'd been herded out of the club and into the car that drove her home. 7, she answered, nodding to reinforce the lie. And then she shut the door, thanking God the girls weren't all waiting in the tiny living room for all the gory details of her evening. She leaned back against it, closing her eyes, her control finally breaking, and she began shaking from head to toe. Even her teeth chattered as she relived every sinfully decadent moment of being sprawled across Drake's desk as he went down on her like a starving man. There was no way in hell she would be here at 7 tomorrow. She had work, rent to pay, and money to send home to her mother. And nothing, not even a very scary, very sexy man who made her tingle in places she'd never tingled in before, was going to prevent her from taking care of her responsibilities. She hadn't moved so far away from her tiny southern town to a city with a bigger population than her home state to be a party girl, or even to have fun. She'd come to the city because her family needed her, and she wasn't going to let them down.
6.
It was the height of cowardice, and Evangeline made no excuses, nor did she even attempt to offer any when she left her apartment well in advance of 7 o'clock the next evening. Though she'd been granted a temporary reprieve when she'd gotten home and her girlfriends weren't waiting up, much to Evangeline's utter astonishment, to make her spill all the gory details of her evening out at Impulse, they had awakened her the next morning by all piling onto one of the twin beds in the room she shared with Steph and literally pounced on her. Evangeline had grumbled and whined about them waking her up when she had to work a late shift that night, but they'd ignored her and informed her she had time for a nap. After she gave them every single detail, word for word, of the ultimate payback they'd cajoled her into. As if she had a prayer of going back to sleep after recounting it. She hesitated for a long time, biting her bottom lip, until her friends grew concerned, and Evangeline knew she would have to spill or they'd assume far worse than what had actually happened, and they would absolutely have no compunction about paying Eddie an unexpected visit and beating the ever-loving hell out of him. And one wimpy guy against her three ferocious, positively evil, their best quality in Evangeline's opinion, friends, wouldn't have a chance in hell. Then Evangeline would have spent the rest of her day figuring out how to afford to bail all three out of jail, when raising the funds to bail just one would have been impossible. Her friends were loyal and protective, and their friendship was unconditional. Evangeline wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. Which was why, despite her humiliation over the events of the night before, not to mention the "oh my God" ending and her leaving like a mute automaton, programmed to obey without question, she poured out the entire story. The first part involving Eddie was actually enjoyable, and now that she had distance and wasn't existing in that moment, she could actually find amusement in what a complete spineless wuss he was, and what a complete moron she'd been to have ever allowed him to have sex with her, especially allowing him to be her first. Despite the amusement she was able to summon, the humiliation was still ever present in her mind, because how stupid and naive could she have been? She wasn't a stranger to hard life lessons, but this was one she would have been more than happy to take a pass on. Her friends found it vastly amusing as well, once they got over their rage at the way Eddie had humiliated her and had actually assaulted her in public. But Evangeline had assured them that he had thoroughly received his comeuppance, and he had ended up being far more humiliated than Evangeline. It was then Evangeline had paused in the retelling, and Steph, ever the astute bulldog who never let anything go, narrowed her eyes suspiciously as she stared Evangeline down. She had the uncanny ability to make Evangeline feel like a guilty schoolgirl caught cheating on a test. "Okay, all of that went down within minutes of you getting there. I mean, you had only just arrived and gotten a drink when Eddie came up to you with his little tramp clinging to his arm. What he had to say couldn't have lasted more than a few minutes at most before the bouncer dude got involved and tossed Eddie and his floozy out. But you were gone a hell of a lot longer than that. So what else happened?" At that, Nikki and Lana both clued into what Steph was getting at, and Nikki pinned Evangeline with a piercing stare that was almost as squirm-worthy as the one Steph was so famous for. "You're holding out on us," Nikki accused. "Yeah, no kidding," Lana muttered. "Spill, girlfriend. We mean everything. And don't leave a single detail out, or swear to God, me, Nikki, and Steph will all make a trip to Impulse, find this bouncer who took care of Eddie, and find out exactly what happened afterward." Evangeline groaned, because they absolutely would. The men who worked with or for Drake, she hadn't exactly been able to figure out the dynamics of that situation in the short time she'd been there, were all badasses. She hadn't needed more than a few seconds in their company to figure that much out. Anyone with eyes and any modicum of common sense could tell these were not men to fuck with. Ever. She nearly laughed at the mental image of Maddox being confronted with three petite but very stubborn, determined women who were like pit bulls latched onto a prime stake when it came to something they wanted. They wouldn't be intimidated or put off by Maddox, or any of the other badasses who worked at Impulse. The poor guy, or guys, would never know what hit them. Well, except for Drake. She very nearly shivered at the memory of him simply looking at her, like he was peeling her, layer by layer, and seeing every single thought, reaction, or emotion she so carefully tried to hide from the rest of the world. For all the good that did her. No, Her girls wouldn't have a chance with him. And though her friends weren't intimidated by much, one look from Drake would likely send them scurrying in the opposite direction. Which was what Evangeline should have done, and she still questioned why she hadn't done just that. But she'd been in shock and utterly overwhelmed by the entire sequence of events. Nothing had gone according to her friend's carefully laid out plan. But then Evangeline had never really truly believed it would. But foolishly, she'd allowed herself to be talked into the whole sordid mess. And what a mess it was. She bit into her bottom lip, a sure sign of agitation. Her tell, as her friends often told her, in an attempt to get her to quit it. Not that it did any good, because if she did relate what all happened after Maddox took care of Eddie, well, they would get it into their heads to go confront Drake, and that was the last thing she wanted. For a variety of reasons, the foremost being their safety. A close second was, well, it was humiliating enough already. To have her friends march down to Impulse and make a scene with Drake over it? She shuddered at the thought. She'd already come across as a complete wimp, incapable of taking care of herself, and having her friends go to bat for her would only further solidify that fact. Steph's narrowed eyes and deep frown softened, and a look of concern creased her pretty features, and she asked in a gentle voice, "Vangie, what happened?" Evangeline swept them all with a glance. Not a look she gave her friends often, because she was too wimpy to cause conflict and she was the peacemaker of the group. She was a perpetual pleaser, much to her friends' dismay. They wanted to toughen her up, make her more of a bitch on wheels, but they considered themselves, and they were so not. They were the very best friends any woman could have. But Evangeline just wanted peace. She didn't want a chaotic existence. She liked her quiet life, her small group of friends, and her job at a local pub that wasn't even in the same stratosphere as a place like Impulse. But it was frequented by locals, except for Eddie, of course, who'd only been at the pub to seduce her. Policemen, firemen, and EMS personnel in particular, which made her feel safe. More evidence of her naivete, no doubt. The patrons were friendly and remembered her by name, and the tips were good, thanks to her gorgeous legs, fuck-me shoes, and sweeter-than-sunshine smile, according to her friends. Because she sure as hell didn't remotely regard herself in that manner. Their description of her made her hysterical with laughter. But she loved them dearly for their unconditional love and support, and for the effort they put into trying to convince her they knew her better than she did herself. The endless hours they spent bolstering her self-confidence, and the absolute conviction she saw in their eyes and heard in their voices, warmed her inside and out. Evangeline had merely rolled her eyes and informed them that any waitress who made the effort to remember their names and their preferences in drink and to make them feel welcome after a long shift would receive the same. Steph had snorted, and then pointed out that if that were the case, they'd all be making as much in tips as Evangeline did. With a sigh, Evangeline plunged ahead, because she was in a no-win situation. If she didn't tell them everything, they'd haul themselves down to Impulse, interrogate Maddox, and then God only knew who else, and likely end up in Drake's office. And if she did confess every single thing, who was to say the outcome would be any different? Only in this case, they might well skip Maddox and the other minions and go straight to Drake. So she did something she never did with them, because she trusted them absolutely. Never questioned them or their loyalty. But she also knew, once they gave her their word, that even if it killed them, and it would in this case, they'd keep it. She set conditions. "I'll tell you the rest, but only if you swear to me that, one, it never leaves this room and remains between the four of us,"
And two, you're to leave it alone. I mean completely alone. As in you forget it as soon as I tell you, and there will be no confronting anyone, no questioning anyone, no investigating anyone, or being nosy. You have to swear it, Evangeline repeated emphatically. Or my lips are sealed.
The three looked shocked, but each nodded in turn, though Steph didn't look at all happy at having to promise something before she even knew what Evangeline was going to reveal. Her lips twisted into a mutinous line, but Evangeline stared her down, never once averting her gaze, until finally Steph threw up her hands in surrender.
"Okay, okay," she said in exasperation. "I promise."
She glanced at Lana and Nikki and then added,
"We all promise. Now will you just get on with it? We're dying of curiosity here."
Satisfied that she had their consent, and knowing that they'd never go back on their word, Evangeline falteringly related everything that happened after Eddie had been tossed from the club. She left nothing out. No words that Drake had said to her. They were burned into her brain, so it wasn't as though she would ever forget them. By the time she finished, her cheeks were on fire, and no doubt so red that she looked like she was sunburned. The room felt way too hot, and she desperately needed a cold shower. Or even better, a bathtub full of ice she could submerge herself in until her flushed and aroused, traitorous body rid itself of the lingering after-effects of Drake's mouth, lips, tongue. His touch. God, just his touch had sent her up in flames. She didn't dare imagine if things had gone further, and they'd had full-on sex, complete with penetration, of more than just his tongue. She could feel yet another wave of heat invade her body, and every single one of her girly parts tingling in wild anticipation. She had to stop this. How on earth, hours later, could just remembering all the things he'd done turn her into a complete hormonal mess? She didn't even have the courage to hold her friend's gazes anymore, and had long since fixed her stare at a distant point, so she couldn't see their reactions. When she finally dared to sneak a glance at her friend's expressions from underneath her eyelashes, their mouths were agape and their eyes wide with complete shock. And for once in their lives, particularly Steph's, who never had a shortage of anything to say, they were utterly speechless. Nikki's mouth popped open and shut several times in a row, while Steph just stared in stupefaction. Surprisingly, it was Lana, the quietest of the three, who finally managed to squeak out,
"What? For real? Are you serious?"
And it was a squeak, barely audible due to the obvious disbelief cracking in her words. Seemingly Lana's breaking the stunned silence began a barrage of questions from all directions until Evangeline covered her ears and groaned, sinking back onto her pillow and closing her eyes. She reached for the second pillow and would have pulled it over her head to shut them out, but it was promptly snatched from her grasp, and Evangeline found herself staring up into Steph's outraged features.
"Oh, hell no!"
Steph huffed, her eyes flashing as her head hovered directly over Evangeline's face.
"You are not getting out of this!"
Then she stopped, clearly at a loss for words for a second time in mere moments. Twice in a matter of seconds? Her hand flew above her shoulder, palm up and fingers displayed wide in a universal gesture that screamed, "What?" Her expression said everything else her gesture didn't cover, like, "Why?" and "How?" and "Holy crap! Really?" If it weren't for the fact that the events were all too real, and they had happened to Evangeline, she would have found her friend's reactions comical, and would even now be holding her sides and laughing hysterically, as if she'd managed to successfully pull off the mother of all pranks, something she wasn't remotely capable of, because her girlfriends informed her she was too guileless and wouldn't even begin to know how to deceive someone. They made it sound like a crime, or at the very least a cardinal sin. Did people pride themselves on being deceitful, or worse, being convincing and successful at it? Evangeline sighed because, yes, she was indeed everything her friends accused her of, though accused was too strong a word. They despaired of her naivete and her inability to be catty and bitchy to those who deserved a good set-down. They were forever telling her she was too sweet, too innocent, too forgiving and trusting for her own good. They loved her dearly for the very things they considered shortcomings, but they worried that those characteristics would end up being her ultimate downfall. Maybe they were right, but Evangeline couldn't change who she was any more than she could change who she wasn't. Hadn't last night solidly proved that, beyond a shadow of a doubt? And, well, she didn't want to change. She liked herself just fine the way she was, shortcomings and all. No one was perfect. It just so happened she had more imperfections than most. So what? There was nothing she could do about it. So why waste time and energy she didn't have trying to be someone that not only could she never possibly be, but also that she had no desire to become? Put like that, last night hadn't been the disaster Evangeline had immediately labeled it, and peace settled over her, pushing away some of the still vivid and all too fresh humiliation cloaking her, even as her friends continued to stare her down, looking like they were ready to rip her hair out by the roots if she didn't further explain the shocking revelation she'd dropped on them, as though it had been a live explosive.
"He actually went down on you in his office? On his desk?"
Nikki asked in a hushed whisper, evidently having reached the breaking point of her patience and deciding Evangeline was going to have to be interrogated, since she still wasn't forthcoming with all the juicy details her friends craved.
"God, you make it sound so sordid," Evangeline said with a soft groan. "I feel like I should be in church right now, or at least at confession."
"Hun, I think one has to be Catholic to go to confession," Lana said dryly.
"Stop distracting her,"
Steph said in a near shriek, her agitation making her even more agitated.
"And Vanjie, I hate to break it to you, but it was sordid, in a really delicious, oh my god, goosebump-inducing kind of way. I need to sign up for that kind of sordid, because nothing I've ever done has even come close to that kind of hedonistic delight."
Evangeline lifted one eyebrow in surprise. She'd expected... She frowned, giving her head a light shake to clear the confusion. She wasn't entirely sure what she'd expected. Maybe condemnation? Disappointment? Judgment? But that wasn't at all what she saw reflected in her friends' gazes. There was a myriad of responses, almost too many to sort through, but nowhere did she see anything that made her feel ashamed or even sorry for what she'd done. But then she hadn't done anything. She'd just been a clueless, a completely clueless, participant, if she could actually call her response actual participation. She'd merely allowed him to happen, to take over and control every aspect of the shattering, life-altering sequence of events that had begun as simple, petty payback. There was no blaming shock, being overwhelmed, or even the fact that her senses had been so scattered that she wasn't even cognizant of what was happening. She knew who was to blame, and it wasn't Drake. It was her own damn fault for not having the fortitude and daring to put a stop to the entire farce. She didn't have a brave bone in her body, and last night had only proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Worse, she'd known exactly what he was doing, what he was going to do, and she'd quivered to her bones, shaking violently with suppressed need and longing. He'd awakened a fire that had long lay dormant within her, and God help her, she'd wanted it, craved it, and him, with every breath in her body, with wild desperation that still bewildered her,
because the wanton woman she hadn't even known existed had responded with complete abandon to a man she'd known for all of a few minutes. For once in her life, she'd given in to spontaneity, done something completely out of character, grabbed onto the moment, and reveled in every single second of unimaginable pleasure. Like in her most erotic fantasies, she'd never shared with anyone. Not even her friends. Because they shamed her, and more than that, they frightened her, because in no way, in any of her wildest fantasies, was she in control of any aspect. She belonged to a man who cherished her, protected her, spoiled her endlessly, but in return he was demanding, ruthless even, with an edge of danger and mystery that clung to him like a second skin, one he wore with the comfort and ease of someone well acquainted with such a lifestyle. What kind of messed up person did that make her? She closed her eyes again, refusing to dwell on things better left in the past. If she had her way, she'd never see him again, because she sure as hell would never venture into places like Impulse, where even the hired help were seen in a more superior, deserving light than she was.